Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you use it to your advantage. It's free. Everything is free except for the books. We do like it when you pay for the books, but everything else, there's no barrier to entry. Only a computer and access to the internet will get you there. And hope you'll subscribe to my newsletter when you get there, my free email newsletter, which comes on Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. And we also have a blog you can subscribe to, or you can just come and use to your little heart's content. Lots of stuff there, thousands of articles, thousands of archives of past interviews that we've done. You can fast forward, rewind, picking up, go back and pick up another. If you hear a web address that you forget, you can go back and listen to just that interview on the blog or on the schedule page and fast forward over to where you think it probably was. And I hope you use all that to your advantage. And thank you to all of you who have been doing that. I like seeing the website is growing. The blog is especially growing. It's really, really funny how people use those blogs. And ours, as you know, is not like anybody else's blog. Stephanie Vance is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's a good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of How to Communicate with Congress. Which is a really hard job, folks. I'll tell you that. She's one of our top political operatives, and she's our good friend. Stephanie, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Have you figured out how to communicate with Congress, really, Stephanie?
Well, I figured out some techniques, and people are always surprised when I say it doesn't involve giving them an enormous campaign check.
Stephanie, here's really my first question. Are they gone?
Well, the Senate's still in town, so.
Oh, they're not all gone. Is the House gone?
Not quite safe yet.
The House
is gone.
They've gone, so it's only half safe.
It's only half safe.
Well, actually, yes. It's 4/5 safe, I guess.
Well, that's true. Although, you know, when they're gone from D.C., they're coming back to their district. So they're
when they're not together, though, they don't create as much mayhem. I always feel safer. And the month of August is probably the safest month of the year, isn't it? August and maybe December.
Well, you know, that's probably true. Although, considering how much Congress has gotten done lately, it's been fairly safe in any month.
They haven't earned their money, have they?
Well, if you judge them based on how much legislation they pass, I think that then you might want to say that. Although,
but maybe that's a good thing. I mean, I'm thinking. You know, had you ever wonder how many new laws we need? I mean, maybe what couldn't we just in January of 1 year say, you know what, we're pretty good on laws. Let's just not pass any this year.
You know, you could think that, although there will always be groups that think that certain things need to be changed. That
those pesky groups
of which everyone
like,
is
like
a
small
member
business, well, except small business groups aren't pesky.
Oh no!
We're lovable.
They're always right.
We're the lovable ones. We're the huggable ones. Exactly. We're always right. Speaking of which, I'm very disappointed and very upset about the minimum wage thing that just happened. Tell us about what just happened. You know about this?
The House passed an increase in the minimum wage, but it's not clear that it's going to actually go through the process.
Well, what makes me mad, of course, Stephanie, I know you're not surprised and probably know that I'm against a minimum wage increase, but what's upsetting to me is the way politicians on both sides of the aisle use it as a political football. To the point where it's become abundantly clear that their interest has nothing to do with people or businesses or the marketplace. It's only about how to manipulate voters for their own political advantage. Am I wrong about that?
Well, what is your evidence of that?
Well, basically the way they've been kicking it around lately. Both sides believe that if they can be in favor of minimum wage, that it'll help them with voters. And so they're both trying to get it passed, or get it at least on the table and get the advantage. Not necessarily the Democrats want it to pass. Republicans necessarily don't. But Republicans are now using it as a political football to gain advantage over the Democrats, right?
Well, I think that is true to some degree. I mean, I think both parties recognize that, and you and I disagree on the minimum wage, both parties recognize that a lot of people think it needs to be increased. And so I do think that you see the Republican leadership supporting an increase, in part because they are trying to get in good with the voters. And
bingo.
People who, well, and why does that surprise us? They are people who are elected by the voters. So
well, but
part
they're,
of their job to be in good with them.
Yeah, well, I still think it's about more about manipulation. And it's certainly not about good, sound economics. That's for sure. 22, we'll be right back. And we'll see if Stephanie and I can disagree on something else in a minute. Stay with us, please.
Just drift right into space.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Stephanie Vance, the author of How to Communicate with Congress. Stephanie, give us your website, please.
It is www.advocacyguru.com.
And you travel all over the country helping people, organizations, communities do a better job of communicating with their delegations, don't you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I have a number of different groups I work with, and they may have state chapters or that sort of thing, and I go wandering around the country helping them understand how to deal with
Congress. Give us an example of what you do. Like you work with chambers of commerce, with municipalities, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I've definitely done work with chambers and municipalities. Basically, a municipality or a local chamber may have questions about how to work with their state legislature or their federal legislature. And I try to give them sort of a perspective and a framework about the factors that influence elected officials and the best way to reach them and how to approach meetings with them and that sort of thing.
Right. And if someone wanted to get you to help them, they could just go to your website and contact you from there.
They absolutely could. On the website, it's www.advocacyguru.com. And there's all kinds of information there about the topics I speak on, my schedule
and
how
book?
To get in touch with me. And the book.
The book's
absolutely.
There, too. Okay. What else is Congress is noteworthy about what Congress is up to that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I think what's most noteworthy is what they're not up to. The House did finish early Saturday morning with a number of different provisions. They passed, as we mentioned, the minimum wage. They passed some pension reform. They passed legislation to slash the estate tax. And all of these things are being dumped on the Senate, which is still here this week. It's not clear what's going to happen with all those measures. And then they're going to be gone for most of August, and then they come back in September, and their real focus is going to be finishing up on their appropriations process.
But mostly they're never going to take their eye off of, especially one-third of senators and 100% of the 435 House members are not going to have their minds and their eyes and their hearts very far away from their own districts, are they?
Well, that's true, because it is an election year, and so they do have to worry about returning to the voters and indicating what they've supported that the voters are going to want them to support. So, you know, when you get to that question about, whether they're quote-unquote pandering to the voters, I think in a lot of cases they are, and it's in part because we have a system set up where they do have to go back to the voters every few years and explain themselves.
Right. What about... What about these appropriations bills? Are they getting behind the curve on those?
Well, as usual, they're a little behind. We should never be surprised when they haven't finished the appropriations
right.
process. It's hard to tell at this point whether they're going to be able to finish it in September, before they adjourn in early October, before the end of the fiscal year in October.
Well, what'll happen if they don't?
Well, they'll have to pass some continuing resolutions, meaning that the government will operate on the current budget cycle.
I think we should make them change the name of that. instead of calling it continuing resolution, is that what you said? That's what you said, right? Instead of calling it, you know, we hear about pass this continuing resolution. I think what we should say is we should make them call it the we didn't do our job resolution.
Interesting. I think that's probably not going to go very far.
But don't you think that's a great idea?
Well,
and I know you think I have lots of great ideas. That's one of them, isn't it?
I think it's an idea, all right. I have to say that I think part of their job is to argue with each other and fight and represent the interests of their districts. And when you have
you mean like you and I do over minimum wage?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And when you have people that are representing, you know, rural Arkansas and people that are representing urban New York City, you're going to have some differences of opinion as to what's the right direction to go. And that's kind of how the system was set up.
It's ugly and it's ragged and it's rude. But after 220-something years, somehow it works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it works. And I think what's interesting about it is that it works in the way it was supposed to, and that is in very rarely getting things through the process.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, isn't it? I mean, there are lots of things that people come up with that don't need to become law, isn't it?
Well, in fact, only about 5% of the bills that are introduced in a congressional session become law.
Right.
And that means that 95% of the stuff that's introduced actually doesn't go anywhere. And it's and people think, oh, that's a terrible percentage. But actually, you know,
if you saw some of the stuff that they tried to pass, folks, you'd think we might need to get it down to 3%.
Exactly. It's the point. That's the reason why the system was set up the way it was to ensure that very little actually got through.
And, you know, Stephanie, and I know you know this very well, you're a student of history. If you go back and read some of the new books that are out in the last 2 or 3 years, the one that McCullough wrote on Adams, and the one he wrote on called 1776, the one on Jefferson, the one on Madison, and the one on Washington, all those books that have come out lately, Franklin as well, you find out that if you think the acrimony is high these days, those guys. I mean, that it was. I'm amazed, Stephanie, that they actually put this country together as mad as they got at each other sometimes.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's partisanship was at its best 200 or so years ago.
And they didn't even have parties to be partisan about necessarily. They were ideologues to the nth degree, weren't they?
Absolutely. And those are the people who founded our government, so we shouldn't be surprised, I think.
No, I agree. And, of course, as we know, it got so bad that a sitting vice president actually, you know, dueled with another guy, another leader of our country, and killed him. Stand by to win 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with our good friend Stephanie Vance. Stay with us.
Well, you don't know.
Little Steely Dan for you.
This is your big debut.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Stephanie Vance, author of How to Communicate with Congress, and she's a great resource for organizations. If you've got a chamber of commerce or a municipality, you'd like to do a better job of getting your message, getting your desires, the things that you want to get out of your federal government, if you'd like to do a better job of learning how to communicate with these folks, I recommend that you contact Stephanie or someone like her. Stephanie, this is something that's I think is very important. What you do is very important, Stephanie, because I have seen communities that didn't do a good job of this, and I have actually seen the progress and the opportunity go right around them and go directly to the communities who were, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles away who did a good job of communicating with their elected representatives, and they got the benefits from that, and the other communities didn't. And over a 20, 30-year period, the economies were considerably different.
Well, that certainly does happen, and I think, you know, the important thing for people to know is that it's not rocket science communicating with your elected officials. There's just certain ways to approach them, certain times to approach them, certain ways you phrase things, certain things to ask for that are going to make more sense to them. And if you know sort of the rules of the game and how to play the game, you're going to be a lot more successful, and your community is going to have, you know, a lot more growth and economic opportunity.
But, you know, Stephanie, I'm going to say something. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I believe that you're better off having some communication with your elected representatives, even if you don't know how to do it exactly the right way. That not communicating with them, not asking them for what you want, is worse than doing it the wrong way.
Oh, I think that's completely true. I mean, I always tell people, you know, no matter what, whether you read my book or not, whether you talk to me or not, communicate with them, ask them for stuff, you know, work with them. Because otherwise, you give up your right to whine about the outcome if you don't participate in your government.
I heard a story once about a community that was talking to a former member of Congress who was now doing some lobbying, and he told that community, he said, the reason why you didn't get much was you didn't ask me for anything.
That is so true. And from my years of working on Capitol Hill, we would have people come in and talk with us and, you know, think that they were having a meeting in which they were asking for something, but because they never actually asked for something,
right.
They would talk about how important this program was or how good it was, but they never said, "Ann, can you help us get funding for it?"
They didn't try to close the sale, did they?
No, they didn't. And as small business owners, we all know how important that is.
Everybody's a salesperson, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And in Congress, what you're selling is your ideas.
Right. And so don't presume, ladies and gentlemen, just because you think your representative or your senator likes you, or even in this particular case that I'm talking about, that person who said you didn't ask me for anything was actually from that community. And so they assumed since he was from there, he would take care of them, but he didn't.
Well, that happens all the time, and you have to remember every member of Congress, every member of the U.S. House represents about 700,000 people, and every member of the Senate represents everybody in the state. So they're not always going to be as close to your interests as you are, and you need to constantly remind them that you're there and that you need their help.
And they get pulled in other directions, don't they?
Constantly.
Away from their own district's interests.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you might have party interests that are preying on you. You might have committee interests. If you're looking at a higher office, you may have to look at the interests of the entire state.
Aren't there always conflicts between what the party wants you to do and what your constituents want? And you got to be firm about which way you want to go. I mean, you got to know which way you're going to lean.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are times when the interests coincide, but there are a lot of times when you've got to when you have to pick one or the other. And many members, because they want to be reelected, will go with the interests of their district. But then that causes a lot of infighting and some of the crazy stuff that we see come out of the process.
And that's the ugly stuff. No question
that's
about it. Stephanie, give us your website again, please, Stephanie.
It is www.advocacyguru.com.
Thank you, Stephanie, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
All righty.
Stephanie Vance, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.